Well, the Crown has told the High Court there's no point forcing the Children's Minister to give evidence to the Waitangi Tribunal as there is nothing new she could add, given all the relevant information has already been handed over. But iwi who want the Minister to front say officials at Oranga Tamariki have not been able to answer all their questions and the Minister is the only person who has the answers. Those arguments have been presented to a judicial review of a Waitangi Tribunal summons ordering the Minister, Karen Chua, to provide evidence at its urgent inquiry into the repeal of Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act. Now, that section requires Oranga Tamariki to monitor outcomes for Tamariki Māori, young Māori, and demonstrate adherence to treaty principles. Wellington barrister Graham Edgler was in court observing proceedings yesterday. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning.
A fascinating day from what I saw yesterday. What did you take from that in terms of the arguments put forward?
It was essentially what you might expect in this case. I mean, the biggest thing that you have when you're sort of, you know, trying to avoid a summons is, well, there isn't any evidence that I could give. And that's the minister's sort of, you know, biggest argument is, the chief executive and the deputy chief executives turned up. They were given a lot of information to the tribunal. They were there to answer questions. There is more information, you know, but, you know, the other information that we have is information that we couldn't give. You know, it might be legally privileged or it might be protected by cabinet confidentiality. And so actually, there's just nothing more for me to say. It's a waste of everyone's time. And that is, you know, if it's a waste of everyone's time, that's a good reason to not have to give evidence. And so that's sort of the principal argument there. You know, certainly other arguments that the Crown brought around, you know, the importance of ministerial responsibility and cabinet confidentiality, and the other one I'm forgetting, cabinet joint, you know, once cabinet makes a decision, everyone sort of agrees to it from cabinet, and sort of, you know, constitutional arguments that say, oh, there's extra reasons here beyond the norm as to why you should not have the minister along. And that's sort of where the Crown got to at the end.
Tell me about the... I'm curious about the evidence that does exist, because that seems to be the tribunal's main issue, that it feels that it's got questions because it doesn't feel satisfied with the evidence. What is the evidence that has been provided? Do we know? Was there a cabinet paper? Has there been research? Was that talked about?
Yes, the cabinet paper is before it, the regulatory impact statement, and so the usual things that you might expect, but not all of the usual things that you might expect. The process that's been gone through to create this decision is different from that normally happens, and so normally, you know, there would be the department would have a great deal of involvement in making this decision and recommending, well, here are the two or three options, and which one do you want, full repeal or do you just want amendment, and here's the positives and negatives. And there's some of that, but not as much as normal, because the process is essentially, you know, ACT adopted this policy while they're in opposition, you know, National and ACT agreed to enact this when they were in their coalition negotiations before anyone even became
a minister. But is that
reasonable?
I mean, that is, and I'm curious, as someone in the media, how wide-ranging is it to take out 7AA? Does that completely remove all adherence to treaty principles, or is it just around uplifts? I mean, do we know?
I'm not sure it's about uplifts at all.
Right.
I know, you know, I mean, and which is, you know, one of the things that, you know, that potentially the Waitangi Tribunal could ask. Well, perhaps,
so,
you know,
so wouldn't it be reasonable to have a minister here to answer that question? Well, I mean, that we need to know this, don't we?
I think we do, and I think the tribunal does. I think that sort of question is a question, you know, I was at the court hearing yesterday about the judicial review. I haven't been at the Waitangi Tribunal hearing, which has, you know, had a day or two
of
argument on things like that. I think that would be a question that the chief executive could answer, because Section 7AA is a section which tells the chief executive what to do. And so that is something that perhaps
to the ministry and Oranga Tamariki, they and the government, they do say that they've provided all the, you know, all the evidence and all the details, right? They argue that they have.
Yes, and so the iwi claimants went along yesterday, you know, pointing out, you know, the Crown pointed out that sort of quite some length, you know, Here are the nine questions that the tribunal has listed as they're going to ask in their summons. And the Crown went through at some length. You know, well, here's the evidence we're going about this but a question. Here's the evidence we're going in response to this question. We couldn't answer this question because it's legal privilege and we just declined to answer it. And sort of they went through and lengthened. But then the iwi claimants, well, you know, here are some other bits of information that surely exist that we don't yet have. And so that's what the judge is looking at.
Just
is
very quickly, Graham,
relevance?
I mean, did you, in terms of the issue that's been considered here as to whether or not this was somehow overstepping the mark, you know, interfering with the government, what did you get the sense of there?
Well, certainly the Crown accepts it. It wasn't obvious to me before. The Crown accepts that this could sometimes happen, that sometimes a tribunal, whether it's, say, you know, a Royal Commission of Inquiry or the Waitangi Tribunal, could order a minister to appear. They're not saying it's improper, that could never happen. They're saying the particular circumstances of this case. So it's narrowed a bit, and they're not quite as far apart as we might have thought when this was sort of first announced.
Interesting. Thank you very much. Graham Edgelett there, who was in court yesterday, observing those proceedings. Very interesting constitutional debate that is going on there.